I'm Tyrese Maxey, and you're listening to the 76ers Insiders Podcast.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network, presented by Stern & Cohen Law.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts. Suffering an injury at work can cause physical pain, but also great uncertainty about your rights. You need to retain a workers' compensation law firm that is a winner like our Sixers. A firm that gets some of the best settlements, but is also willing to go toe-to-toe with the insurance company. No settling on the cheap. This is Philly. We have grit and fight in us. Call the workers' compensation law firm of Stern & Cohen or visit their site sterncohenlaw.com. The consultation is free. Stern & Cohen are the official partners of the 76ers. They'll go ring the insurance company's bell.
Joel Embiid with an historic night for the Sixers. The Sixers beat the Spurs 133-123. Embiid, the scoring by quarter, he had 24 in the first, 10 in the second. Remember, he plays only half of the second quarter. He typically sits out the first 6 minutes or so. He had 25 points in the third, and same thing with the fourth. You know, he came in around 6-plus minutes to go, and he had 11 in the final half of the fourth quarter. So 24, 10, 25, 11. It adds up to 70 points. He had 70 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists. And to the best that we can understand, he's the only player in NBA history with at least 70 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game. Again, every one of these stats, you got to go, wait, didn't Wilt do that? You obviously, you don't know off the top of your head, but Wilt, a lot of these records, you know, Chamberlain clearly has had. So a lot of the crowd, Joel is still in the process of doing a television interview, so a lot of the fans are still, I would say a couple thousand, 3,000 fans are still in the lower bowl around Joel. Christian Crosby, who's one of the in-arena hosts for the Sixers, is about to hand a ball to Joel. Joel's going to sign it, and then he oftentimes boots this into the crowd. I don't know that he'll do that tonight, but Joel Embiid just autographed the basketball, and he has a rubber basketball in his hand. He's motioning, and again, all these fans awaiting, where is the big fella going to go as Joel, he is milking this moment. I think he might hand it to a young fan. Walking down the tunnel, he points to a fan, and Embiid, yep, he's got somebody in mind, and he hands it to a young fan. That's cool. He just got an autographed Embiid basketball. Mr. 70. Wonder if he put that on there. What a night. 133 points for the Sixers. They win their sixth game in a row. Embiid scores 70 points. 24 field goals, 41 tries, and he went 21 of 23 for the line. And lost in everything is Victor Wembanyama had 33 for San Antonio, and he did that in 28 minutes, and Embiid played 37 minutes. So awesome night here at the center. Sixers with the one home game and ready to go back out on the road after a two-game weekend set in the Southeast. They're going to go to Indiana, and it'll be the Sixers and the Pacers on Thursday night, then Denver, then Portland, then the Utah Jazz. Well, then the Warriors, then the Utah Jazz. All right, we're going to go to Matt Murphy. So, Murph, it's all yours.
Wow. What a game. 70 points for Joel Embiid on January 22nd here, 2024, against the San Antonio Spurs. They get the win, and Embiid sets the 76ers franchise record, surpassing Wilt Chamberlain by 2. And as you just heard from Tom McGinnis, it's the first with 70, 15-plus rebounds, and at least five assists, which he had in this game. Embiid finished with 5 on the number. So 70 points on 24 of 41 shooting, 1-3 on 2 three-point attempts, 21 of 23 at the line, 70-18 and 5 for Joel Embiid. Tom McGinnis, can we reflect a little bit? We knew coming in that all eyes would be on Embiid and Wembanyama, and it was Embiid who stole the show with his best performance in his career.
Yeah, no, and again, I like that breakdown of the scoring, like by quarter 24. That's one of his best first quarters ever. And, you know, like they had Wembanyama. The last time we spoke, Matt, was at the pregame. We were like, would you put Victor on him? And they did, early and often, which, you know, I guess makes sense. You got a 7'4 player guarding a 7-foot player, of course. And, you know, like Victor, I'm not saying he stopped him, but he did a pretty good job. But then later in the game, they had Sohan on him. They were doubling Joel. And, you know, those guys were no match. But Embiid, like, you know, he also made the right play a couple times. Like, he found...
The pass to Oubre was incredible, the wrap around.
Yeah, that's one of the best passes of his career.
And I think he was even shaking his own head in disbelief. Great, you know, not putback, but great slam from Oubre. But he wasn't shaking his head at Oubre's dunk. He was kind of shaking his head at his own pass to throw it without really looking. Unreal.
Jerry Monzo coming by. He keeps stats for NBC Sports Philadelphia, and he did it for us tonight, too. Boy, there was a lot of numbers, though. I want to thank the Mons man for that. But, yeah, no, that was a, shall we say, a Jokic-like pass by Joel. But, no, he's got that. That was an amazing pass as well. And, yeah, he just, like I said, he scored. I think the big takeaway is, you know, one, he's an extraordinary talent. And then, two, and I don't in any way mean to diminish, but he did it, like, with ease. And but that's getting in the position. That's knowing the angles. That's, you know, those jumpers at the top are just, you know, almost automatic for Embiid. So, like I said, you know, Matt, I don't know what you monitor DeBron. It's the first time I've ever said I could see him getting 100.
Later this season or?
Like, period. At some point. Like, he
because
had 70 tonight.
He reached 54 in his first 27 minutes tonight. And it's like he almost got to 60 at the end of the third. And the question was, would he go back in?
Right.
It was 59, which matched his career high. And they kept him in all the way to 70 after he got a new career high at the free throw line.
So well, that's a good point. Like, it would have to be a competitive game to where he would play. And, again, he played 37 minutes. He'd have to play, you know, like probably 45 minutes or so. And maybe not. But I just think, you know, like, it's I'm not saying, like, I know he can do it. I'm just saying it's plausible. It's the first time I've ever broached the fact. That's kind of one of those records that may not ever be broken. But when you watch a guy like Embiid, like, you know, and, you know, I don't know, he's a center. It's Doc Rivers always used to say it's easier for guards because they have the ball. You know, Lillard had 71 or whatever he had last year. But Damian, you know what I mean? Like, you got to get Embiid the ball. So so many of the baskets are right at the rim where he's just laying them in. And the touch is just incredible. So
he's 60% shooter from 15 to 19 feet, which
right.
For much of the season he's been above the league average around the rim, which is right below 60%. So they say the long two is actually a layup or a dunk for Joel Embiid. We've got some good stats coming in from everybody. We got Matt Mynarik and Tom Alvord, producers, sending us some stuff. We've been talking about this 70 plus, 15 plus, 5 plus. There's one on that from Matt comparing him to Michael Jordan, a performance from MJ. And then there's a quick line from Tom Alvord that says Kobe scored 81 on this day in 2006.
Oh, wow.
So that adds to the significance
karma,
of this
right.
January 22nd Oof. Date. And Brett Brown being here as an assistant coach for the Spurs, we definitely think added to this moment as well. But the Sixers beat the Spurs 133-123 behind 70 points and 18 rebounds from Joel Embiid, the most points for any NBA player in a game this season. It was Giannis with 64. Karl-Anthony Towns in the Minnesota game had 44 in the first half. He's up to 58 through three quarters against Charlotte. We'll see about they're up 15. An extended segment here, Tom, but I do want to ask you this because we've mentioned Iverson in 05 with the last Sixers 60-point game. Embiid passes Wilt, but obviously in your 29 years as the radio voice of the 76ers and through the Iverson years, where does tonight's Embiid 70 rank for you among the best performances you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, right up there, obviously, right? Like, again, like, because of his size and, you know, the way he scores, it's amazing. You know, like Iverson was remarkable, and that was like because of his size. You know what I mean? It's like a different 6 feet, 165 pounds, and blowing by people, and the touch that Iverson had was amazing. So it's great. I mean, it's great for Philadelphia. It's great for the franchise, the fans. That's what I love that, the, how the fans were so into it as well. They should be. That's why you come out. You know, there's a whole bunch of ways to take in. Hopefully somebody listens on the radio or on the app or however they consume the game. But to be here in person is pretty special. And that was a nice moment for our fans, and they loved it and deserved it as well. So, yeah, no, Joel is a rare talent. And, you know, he's just this will be a night to remember the way he did it against San Antonio. Great that he did it at home too, right? So all in all, memorable on many fronts.
Iverson was February 12th here in Philadelphia, career high 60 against the Magic.
Well, they list, like when we were just going over the notes in Orlando, they always list the highest performance of a player against a, you know, and for them it's McGrady. He had 50 once against the Sixers, and that 60, I see that all the time because it's in their notes. Nobody's gotten come close as far as, you know, the Sixers against Orlando, and that's when the Sixers got back into the playoffs. They had that 9-year absence in 99, and, you know, it was at the end of a lockout season. There, I believe there was only 50 games that year, and that started the Sixers' rise. It ended up going to the finals. You know, that was one of three straight years where they got into the playoffs and eventually broke through and got to the NBA Finals, and led by Iverson.
70 points for Embiid. Sixers beat the Spurs. What a game. Tom, thanks for sticking around to break it down.
Yep.
Back to the Sixers here on Sixers in 60. Again, Rico Hines coming up. A really great look into not just, you know, where he thinks the Sixers are at right now, some talk about Tyrese Maxey, but a behind-the-scenes look at the Rico runs, which are a thing of lore now in the NBA offseason at UCLA. But we'll let Lauren tee that up in just a moment. Other than San Antonio, Nick, the Sixers have five road games coming up to end January, and the last one actually takes them into the month of February. So they've got that 28-13 record at the halfway point, but a long, tough road trip that begins with the Indiana Pacers, the highest scoring team in the NBA on Thursday. So they've got to get through San Antonio, but they have the Pacers now with Pascal Siakam waiting, and we've seen them this year. They're very fun to watch because of their playing style.
No doubt. Their offensive capabilities have far exceeded expectations for this year. Have some numbers for you.
Stats with Stauskas alert.
Stats with Stauskas.
Play the sound thing. No, we'll work on that.
Number one in points per game, as you mentioned. Number one in assists. Number one in field goal percentage. Number one in bench points per game. Number two in pace. And number four in three-point percentage. So the offensive numbers are blistering. And obviously, at the head of that snake, you start with Tyrese Haliburton. That's the most obvious reason for that, averaging almost 24 points, 13 assists. But they are deep. They have eight guys averaging double-digit scoring. And as I mentioned, the bench points per game, they're bench led by no other than TJ McConnell, one of my favorite players to watch. They've done a great job of moving the ball. They got a lot of shooters on the court. And it started with me really watching the Pacers because of TJ, but they've quickly become one of my favorite teams to watch in the NBA. It's going to be a very exciting up-and-down game when they play with Philly. However, they do not defend.
And the Sixers do.
Yeah, the Sixers
are top five. They have been all year.
The Sixers do a little bit of both. The Pacers, however, if Tyrese and Joel are on their game, they're going to be able to get whatever they want that night. So if they lock in and don't make it a up and down track meet, I think they'll be just fine.
Because you've watched a lot of both, what do you think about how they match up against each other? I know that they've played and they split, but it was much earlier in the season.
Well, I think, you know, the most exciting matchup really is the Tyrese Maxey, Tyrese Haliburton. Those two, you know, they know each other. They were playful with each other here in Philly last time they were playing, but seeing those two go head to head, I think, is going to be kind of the game there. You know, whoever wins that battle, I think, will have a lot to say about who's winning or losing. But, you know, I don't think Miles Turner is a good rim protector, but other than that, I don't really see anyone else that's going to be stopping Joel at the rim. So they give up the most free throws out of any team in the NBA. So, you know, Tyrese and Joel have a history of being aggressive, attacking the rim and getting to the line, and I think that will continue to happen against the Pacers.
You brought up free throws. Everybody always brings it up about Joel Embiid, and I kind of have like a stand on my soapbox type of thing maybe to squeeze into this show before the end. It's not just about Embiid and the disrespect about the free throw rate and all of that, but what a week for basketball fans and for Sixers fans to see the Embiid-Wembanyama matchup followed by the Tyrese's, because Halliburton's back from the hamstring injury. So you get the bigs battle and then you get the guards battle between the Tyrese's in the next two Sixers games. After that, it's a rematch with the Nuggets. Then the Trailblazers and the Warriors on a Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back, and the Utah Jazz a week later on the road trip the following Thursday after playing the Pacers on a Thursday. That is a tough slate with five in a row on the road. I'm sure they've known it's coming for some time now, that this long of a road trip, but it's a daunting schedule coming up.
I mean, it's the beauty of the NBA. The talent has never been deeper, and every city you go to, you're going to be faced with a challenge of very talented players. So Sixers got their work cut out for them, but they're on a nice little win streak right now. I think the team morale's on a positive note. They got some guys hopefully returning from injury in the near future. And again, now you're in the second half of the year, and I think it's time you start thinking big picture and getting things in place so that you're fully peaking and ready to go come playoff time.
That's Nick Stauskas. I'm Matt Murphy. This is Sixers in 60 as we bring in Sixers team reporter Lauren Rosen, who is about to interview Rico Hines, the Sixers assistant coach. And before I start going off about some national media things related to the Sixers, Lauren, what is the high-level overview about the Coach Hines conversation?
Well, it was a pleasure to catch up with Coach Rico Hines, who, of course, we had not worked with up until he joined Nick Nurse's staff, which, of course, he was on in Toronto as well, but joined us in Philadelphia this season. But if you're aware of the NBA, NBA culture, and the 12-month NBA calendar, you're aware of Rico Hines's work. Famously hosts the Rico Hines runs in LA at UCLA every summer. Those, of course, and he'll credit this in the interview you're about to listen to, he inherited from an illustrious line of folks that have hosted runs for NBA players, for college players, for international hoopers in LA at UCLA. Magic Johnson used to be at the helm of the exact same runs that Rico has taken over. And it's an opportunity for players to come in, and as he calls it, it's a sacred space for players to come in and get better over the summer in the lead-up to their respective training camps. He called it a Switzerland of basketball, that anyone on any team can come in there just to get better, to get to know each other, to share in some brotherhood and some opportunity to get to know one another, get to know one another's games, and improve. So really cool to get to know Rico now as a coach of the Sixers. He mentions it, but he hasn't had a day off in a long time if you're someone that's working these summer runs into the regular season. But cool to hear from him for sure.
So we only have like a minute longer, but I'm just going to throw this stuff out there about this narrative-related stuff about the Sixers. Giannis is only averaging 0.4 less free throws per game than Joel, 11.5 to 11.9, but it's always about Joel. Last Wednesday on NBA Today on ESPN, they gave midseason grades. The Sixers didn't even get one. They skipped over them to go to the Knicks and the Heat. And then the power rankings, the Sixers beat the Nuggets, and then they dropped a spot after beating the Nuggets on the NBA power rankings on ESPN. So I don't know what the deal is, but the Sixers still have to somehow impress everyone even more than your average team. So
easier to be the underdog, Matt. I'll take it.
Very true.
So I don't know what that was all about, but that was bothering me. I had that jotted down, ready for this moment all week, and now this moment has turned into an interview with Sixers assistant coach Rico Hines, the host, the founder of the now in charge of the Rico runs in UCLA in the off season. So that's coming up, Lauren with Rico. But thank you both so much. Can't wait for it.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, everybody, and here's the conversation with assistant coach Rico Hines.
Lauren Rosen here with Coach Rico Hines ahead of Sixers Spurs. Coach, I wanted to ask about the vibe that you and your coaching staff under Nick Nurse have created with this team this year. Every time
even I walk into a room with you guys, the energy is just extremely positive, regardless of what's happening on the court, who's in, who's out, what the outcome of the game the night before was. How important for you, understanding your background, which we'll get into in a minute, is it to create such a positive environment for your teams?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you feel that, because that's exactly what we're looking for. Anytime anybody's around us or around our gym, we always want the gym to be a popping gym and create great energy and a vibe. Like you say, that's how we that's the energy that we want to provide and create with our team. That it's actually like a next day, next play type of mentality. Like, you know, whatever happened, good or bad, it already happened. Let's just keep it moving and keep getting better and keep trying to accomplish what we are trying to accomplish. And you know, that's the vibe we're looking for. We always want a popping gym and positive energy, and always trying to think about the big picture of what we're trying to do with our team.
You spent some time in Toronto with Coach Nurse. Now you're here in Philadelphia. What has that transition been like for you to work with him, to develop a partnership, and to create a vibe now in a new space?
Yeah, it's been great, man. I've known Coach Nurse for some time. Now for some years now, I just wasn't on his staff yet, and finally had the opportunity to join his staff, and it's been amazing, man. I love his creativity, his vibe, his way of seeing life, seeing the game. It's just been great, man. I've learned so much from him, and I just appreciate his positivity and his big picture-ness, if that's a word, how he sees things for the big picture of what we're trying to do, and it's been great. It's been a great transition. I know him. I know him pretty well now, so. You know, it's great to have had that time with him, so I can help the other coaches that haven't been with him as much. But it's been great, man. He's, you know, one of the top five coaches in the NBA, in my opinion. And, you know, I appreciate the time with him, and you know, hopefully we can continue this thing.
You say that you've known him for a long time before you worked with him, and that doesn't surprise me based on your standing in the league. So I'll brag about you because I don't want to make you do it for yourself, but you're someone that everybody in this league really knows and respects, whether they've played for you, with you, against you, or over the summer at UCLA, where you gather lots of folks from college ball, NBA ball, international ball. People really respect the space that you curate at UCLA, where some of the greatest players, past, present, and future, have all come through. What's it like to run that in the summer and then be a part of this machine during the year? How do you balance those two lives that are so both critically important in this league?
Yeah, well, I haven't had a day off in a long time, you know what I mean? Or summer off for sure. And but for me, you know, it's not even work. You know what I mean? I talk about that to a lot of young coaches now. You know, the game, the NBA game now is 365 days. A lot of times it used to be summers off, and people think you take the summers off. Summer probably is the most important time, because you get a chance to figure out your game and understand who you are and work on your game and all that, especially for younger players. That's the environment that I created out there at UCLA. Obviously, it got passed along to me from Magic Johnson and other people from years and years. But I just took it to a different level and a different space. And but I'm very appreciative of the people that came before me to help me understand how to run it. And now I just get a chance to go out there and do my thing with those guys. And all the guys that come in our gym, they understand the pureness that I have for the game of basketball and how much I want to see them accomplish their goals and dreams. And that's the respect thing. You know, everybody always asks me, how do I get all those guys to come in there? The number one thing is just because they know I care and I want them to be successful. So, you know, it's like Switzerland. Nobody, I don't care what team you're on, who you are, come in there for that 2.5 hours. You know, it's like you come in there to work on your game. And then after that, you get a chance to fellowship. You know what I mean? You get a chance to talk with other guys around the league, figure out their tendencies, talk to older guys, younger guys, talk to older guys about how to get better and how to have longevity in the NBA. And it's just work for us, man. It's been a blessing. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to have the respect of all those guys. But I think the number one reason why they respect me is because of the pureness. All I want to do is see them accomplish their goals and dreams. There's no hidden agenda. It is what it is. You know what I mean? And hopefully they feel that when they're around me. And I think they do. So we'll just keep it going.
Catching up with Coach Rico Hines, talking about his in-season job and his off-season job. And you mentioned calling your offseason run Switzerland is interesting to me, because I've heard our players and players past talk about what a sacred space those summer runs are. I know you're reluctant to let the cameras in there, and every once in a while something gets out. And something that got out this summer, you addressed a group of players that had been playing, and you talked about, regardless of if you're guy number one or guy number 18, being someone that helps the team win.
No question.
What goes into being someone that helps the team win? And if we can take it a level further, how are you seeing that across this roster with the Sixers this year?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things with my summer work is really for younger guys. You know what I mean? So they can figure out their game. Obviously, we have our stars come in there, and we have our big names and all of that. But it's really for the younger athletes, the younger players, to get a chance to figure out their games and understand how to, you know, help a team win and become a complementary player and how to fit into a specific role. Like, you know, you have your superstars, right? They're from God. They're going to be what they're going to be. And I've seen guys grow their roles from, you know, role players to stars in this league just by being in that gym. I've seen guys do that as well. But the first thing is just figuring out who you are, how to be a complimentary player, how to be an energy guy, understanding schemes, working on your IQ, and all of that. So as a young player, the best you can drill all you want, but as a young player, you have to play. And so that's the environment that I try to create in there, so those guys can figure out who they are, even though it's a small sample size. But if you're a guy in there that your team always losing, you know, when you get to your practice facility in the fall, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be a guy that's always on the losing team. So, you know, I talk about that to those guys. Even when you're in there, you know, with me, it's like, treat it just like you're in your practice facility. Try to win. Try to always bring value, add value to a team. And, you know, hopefully the message gets across. A lot of times, you're right, I didn't like the cameras being there. And early, when I've been doing this for a while, but a long time ago, I didn't let the cameras in there because I just wasn't, you know, it was just such a sacred space. But it's just a new day. You know what I mean? The people that work for me told me, they was like, Coach Rico, you got to let the people in, like, you know, so they can see it. You might be able to help somebody across the world. And I get a lot of DMs and people hitting me and talking to me about how I help change their lives and stuff like that. So, you know, I like that. You know what I mean? I like it a lot. So that's what it's about. How can we help grow the game and help people accomplish their goals and dreams? So, you know, hopefully it's working.
Well, you've managed to maintain that sacred space and open it up to people. And I think that's a pretty cool accomplishment. I don't think we can talk, though, about young players finding their way, finding their role, without talking about Tyrese Maxey, who has clearly warmed up to you quite a bit. It's been a pleasure to watch you guys develop a relationship over the season. And speaking the way that you just did about Tyrese reminds me of who he was as a rookie, who he was as a second-year player. Learning to just find minutes and earn minutes and compliment Joel and compliment other players, now becoming a superstar in his own right. So he's sort of lived both lives at this point. And what's it been like for you to join him at this point in his career?
Man, it's crazy because, you know, I'm good friends with Sam Cassell, and you know, Sam used to talk about him a lot, you know, and he used to always talk about how hard of a worker he is, how he had to kick him out of the gym. This is years ago when I was like Sacramento and other places, and he used to always talk about that kid. And you know, he was actually in the same draft as Tyrese Halliburton, who I worked with when I was inside at the time. So it's funny because they got the same name, and they couldn't be, like, they're the same person from who they are as people. They're good basketball players, but they're better people. And I remember Sam telling me, like, Rico, man, you know, this summer when you get with him, man, like, you're going to, like, because I was asking about him. You know, I knew him from afar, but I had never spent time with him. And Sam was like, Rico, he's going to tell you exactly how this thing want to go. And as soon as I sat down with Tyrese, man, it was just like, you know, it was like my nephew. You know what I mean? It just, you know, and I already was familiar with this game, obviously, and I was familiar with another player like him. You know, I think he and Tyrese are budding superstars, you know what I mean? And Tyrese Halliburton, I think both of them are budding superstars, and they're great people. And also another person that I had a chance to work with when we drafted him was Steph Curry. And these, you know, those guys, man, they're great basketball. They're good basketball players, but they're better people. And Tyrese has the same type of vibe as Steph and those other two, the other Tyrese that I mentioned. His work ethic is crazy, and you know, he still got to kick him out of the gym from time to time. And he's I don't know where he is as far as minutes in the NBA, but I know it's up there. You know what I mean? And so I try to just manage that and manage that with our work, as far as not overworking. But just doing enough so we can keep him sharp, because he had to stay in the gym the whole time, you know what I mean, and keep working. But he's a great person, man. His family is amazing, so I see where he gets it from. I'm proud of him. I'm so happy for him. All the hard work that he's put in over the years with guys like Sam, and all the stuff that he does in the summer with Chris Johnson and Drew and all those guys, you know what I mean? And hopefully the stuff that we're doing now as an organization, as a team, to put him in a place to do what he's doing, I hope it's working. I think it's working, and I'm just happy for him. I'm happy for him, and I just try to build his confidence up every day. And, yeah, we'll keep this thing rolling.
High praise from Rico Hines on Tyrese Maxey, and it's interesting that you shared that story about speaking with Sam Cassell, because even in my line of work, when I find that one of my counterparts is going to be working with Tyrese, or someone that I know at a network is going to be working with Tyrese, I say the same thing. I say, you're going to love working with him. Yeah. The ultimate professional, kind, great basketball player, better person. It's so cool to hear that those conversations transcend different parts of this industry. I'm going to push you on one last thing before we get out of here. Comparing Tyrese Maxey to Steph Curry, perhaps one day we'll say, is a compliment to both of them, but for now, a huge compliment to Tyrese. Where do you see those commonalities?
Well, I think their shooting ability, they both can shoot it from distance, you know what I mean? Like I said, them as people, you know what I mean? And obviously, you know, being able to, like, Steph started off his career, you know, he was good, but, you know, he had some rocky roads, obviously, with the injuries, and, you know, Tyrese hadn't had really, like, last year was a little bit kind of rocky with his injuries, but, you know, just to see the extension of the time, you know what I mean, by year, I think this is year four for him or whatever, and this is just around the time that, you know, Steph started doing his thing, so that's what I see, man. I just see them at the person, you know what I mean, first and foremost, and then the second thing is their work ethic and their, you know, they're nice people, but they're killers on the court, too. Like, they're really trying to beat you. You know, when people look at them and they're smiling and this, that, and the third, but they're very, very competitive, and they're trying to really take your soul away from you. So, you know, those are the things. Like, it's like a babyface assassin, both of them. You know what I mean? So that's why I see the comparison, man. Like, and they both can shoot it, and they both have figured out, you know, Tyrese is starting to figure out different reads, and his handle has gotten a lot better. So, you know, I just see that kind of comparison with the handle, with the shooting ability, and then obviously with that baby face, but that killer mentality, man. So hopefully, you know, he can continue to rise, and one day we'll be speaking to him in the same breath as Steph.
Don't let the smiles fool you.
Exactly.
Coach Rico Hines, thank you so much for sitting down.
Appreciate it.